Hello, everyone. How are y'all doing? We are going to do Q&A today. I'm going to start with a few announcements while everybody's coming in. So as you get here, make sure that you have your chat on. If you want to get your chat on, I will be answering questions. I'm going to promote Coach Lisa. Let's get her on stage. She will be in the Q&A helping out, answering questions as we go. And let's get started. All right. So this is the final. Let me find the notes. I'm up here. I've got a lot of things on my screen right now. We have a lot of really cool things happening. Number one, this is the last week of the Drop It Like It's Hot Challenge. So first and foremost, I just appreciate everyone for donating those pounds to me this month. I have read Facebook posts where people are like, I left some like in a foreign country for you, Corinne. So it's just been exciting to watch all of y'all do that. I love birthday month because it gives us all an opportunity to kind of get focused in a fun way on losing weight. And I think anytime that we can make weight loss fun, it's better. What a lot of us are doing is we're making weight loss a grind by thinking about how hard it is. And if you're doing that to yourself, I want you to think about this. What thoughts are creating the feeling of hard in weight loss? So like, for example, next month, we are going to be doing the ultimate deep dive into the 24-hour plan. A lot of people have thoughts about the planner, like it's like, if it feels hard, it's like, well, it keeps me from eating the things I want. And that's just a thought that will drive you insane. That's not even true. The planner helps you plan for the foods you truly want instead of sitting around either eating them with guilt and remorse and regret, or not eating them, thinking that you can't have them. The whole idea of the planner is to make planning foods you love easier on yourself, figuring out how to meet yourself where you're at. So there you go. So think about fun when it comes to your weight loss. How can I enjoy this? Where am I stopping myself from enjoying this? What are the thoughts that, and this, when you're stopping yourself, it has nothing to do with what you're doing. I want you to ask yourself, when it comes to my weight loss, what thoughts, what bitches, and what gripes am I hanging on to that when I keep saying them, when I keep thinking them, I feel bad, terrible, overwhelmed, confused, hard, restricted, deprived. When I keep trying to use those thoughts over and over again, I feel these things, which means it's really hard for me to show up for myself. Like, you're making it almost impossible. You're putting yourself into a situation where you're either going to have to use willpower or you're not going to do something. So for all of you that are sitting around, I want you to ask those questions rather than sitting around just thinking bullshit. I want you to sit there and I want you to think about, what thoughts do I need to be on alert for so that when they come in, I can tell myself a better truth? Because the problem with hard and confusing and overwhelming thoughts is they always feel true. If you want to prove them true, you'll come on a call with me and you'll give me all your reasons, all your excuses, and all your shit. And then when I challenge them, when I ask you to just think about it in a little bit different way, a lot of times people start feeling a little bit more ease, a little bit more relief, a little like, huh, maybe it doesn't have to be as hard as I'm making it. When you get that ounce of relief from just shifting your thinking a little, it is so much easier to try things, to do different things, to do the things that you think aren't going to be good enough. Like, no one, like every single one of you, please make a promise to me. Will you please, for the love of God, if you are going to take an action and your brain says, that's not good enough, that won't be enough, other people are doing more, you need to just do a dead stop and say, like, that's a smoking pile of shit lie right there. What's not good enough is sitting around doing nothing for fear that it's not good enough. Other people, yeah, they might be doing stuff, but how do I know they didn't start exactly with doing what I'm fixing to do? Maybe they're 10 steps ahead now because one day they got their thumb out of their ass and decided to quit thinking it wasn't good enough and to start thinking for today, it's a good step. We could be thinking that. So I want y'all to think about challenging those things. And if you don't know how to challenge it, post in the damn Facebook group. Say, I asked myself, when I feel like it's hard or overwhelming or confusing or whatever, I asked myself, what are the thoughts that I keep telling myself? And what I found were these. They just feel wicked true. What else could be true for me? Let the members help you. A lot of them have overcome these thoughts. This is the nice thing. A lot of people have had your same thoughts. They didn't just somehow figure out how to be like a new human. They recognized when they had those thoughts and they challenged themselves to be like, there's got to be a better way to think about this, a different way, an easier way. Something else that also feels true so that I can take my next step forward. All right. So one of the things that you're going to need to do now that we're wrapping up the drop it like it hot, like it's hot challenge is one, you're going to close the kitchen this week. So if you go to the drop it like it's hot challenge page, you will check the, if you check that homepage, there is a video by, I think it's from Coach Judith, where she talks about the concept of closing the kitchen at night. Now, for a lot of you, we don't close the kitchen because somehow you're going to break out in fat because you ate after 7 o'clock. Here's a lot of the reasons why closing the kitchen and having that mental shutdown works. Number one, most of us are eating dinner between 5 and 7. Our bodies are not going to starve if we're up at 10 o'clock at night. That is a lie. If you can fucking sleep from 10 until 6 in the morning without eating, you can go from 7 to 10 without eating. A lot of us don't even think about that. Now, you might not like the thoughts you're having. You may be sitting there going through the crucible of, oh my God, I'm not eating. And now I'm faced with all my stresses, my worries, the things I don't like about my life and blah, blah, blah. I'm bored. I ain't got nobody. What if nobody ever loves me? Good. You want to close the kitchen so that you hear those thoughts. And instead of eating over them, which changes no relationship with yourself, you give yourself the opportunity to start figuring out like, good Lord, what is true in my life right now? Start taking some of that horseshit you say at night. And the only way you'll hear it is if you quit putting food in your mouth, put it through the four ends. Start getting to work on these stories. Then it's a lot easier to not eat at night when you're not sitting there thinking about like how terrible your life is or all your unmet goals or all the things you're scared of or all your worries or sitting around feeling guilty because you're sitting on your ass, whatever your thing is. I would much rather you work on the relationship with yourself than for you to sit there and act like this is all true. I have a shitty life, wah, 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 and I can't quit eating. That's not the truth. The truth is we feel better about ourselves when we allow ourselves to hear the crap of which we speak to ourselves. So closing the kitchen allows you to start hearing, why is it do I want to eat at night anyway? And don't allow yourself to think like, well, it's because the food tastes good and the food talks to me. Food doesn't talk to you. You think about food, at least level your thought up from food talks to me to no, this is what's really happening at night. When I'm sitting and I'm not eating, my brain starts thinking about food. Last I checked, there are no lips on this shit. If you start with just thinking about what's really happening, it's so much easier to say no to things. The other good thing about closing the kitchen at night, other than just being able to hear all your thoughts and stuff, is that for some of you, eating late at night also is jacking up your sleep. And when your sleep is jacked up, Your body can't process as many fat cells and calories overnight. So you end up slowing your weight loss down. Not because, like, some of you may even be eating, like, I don't care if you're eating a head of broccoli at 9 o'clock at night. Some of you are requiring your digestion system to kick back up when your body's trying to wind down. And when your body has enough time to wind down before you go to bed overnight, when your body does all the repairing, all the calorie burning, all of that stuff, you end up losing a little bit more weight and a little bit faster simply because your body gets to spend more time doing the process of repair and burning calories through the night. When you eat close to bedtime, your body gets like shortchanged on that. So for some people, just stopping eating at 7 and going to bed and not having that last snack or whatever, even if you're just snacking, you'll be shocked that you'll end up losing a little bit more weight simply because you're getting there. All right. I think the last important thing about closing the kitchen for me personally has been just, it's kind of tying into the last thing. I notice I just sleep better, a lot better. So I wear an Oura Ring, O-U-R-A. I know somebody's going to ask, O-U-R-A. I get nothing from these people, but I do wear an Oura Ring. It's like a biometric tracker. Please don't ask me to tell you all about it. You go Google O-U-R-A. They have a beautiful information and sales page with all of it right there for you. If you're so inclined, you can feel free to go check it out yourself. But one of the things that it does is it will show you like your sleep and it will give you a readiness score each day. Like, are you ready for the day? Anytime I eat past 6 o'clock, because I go to bed everybody knows I'm pretty much like an early bird gets the worm kind of girl. I'm also early bird goes to bed. I'm asleep by 7:30, 8 o'clock most nights. Now I get up at 5 a.m. and I like by 10 o'clock, I've usually put a whole work day in. So one of the things that I've noticed is that anytime I eat, it's about after 6 o'clock, is my deep sleep goes down and my readiness score goes down because I'm eating too close to bedtime. So Chris and I have been backing up dinner to 5 o'clock just to see if I can get some improvements on that. So it is a thing that digestion too close to bed will disrupt your sleep patterns. All right, so we're closing the kitchen this week as a challenge. Now, for all you Drop It Like It's Hotters, if you go to the homepage, if you go to the Drop It Like It's Hot homepage, you will also now see that there is a survey available for everybody for prizes. So you have until Tuesday, August the 2nd at 11:59 p.m. to fill it out. Again, it's on the Drop It Like It's Hot homepage. You have until Tuesday, August the 2nd at 11:59 p.m. to fill it out. We're going to have 10 winners who are eligible for up to a full year of membership. So we've got some people are going to win like 3 months. I know we got some people are going to win a year. So if you fill it out, you will be eligible. The survey is going to ask you how much weight did you lose this month and if you had any non-scale victories this month. So whatever happened, make sure you fill out our survey. And then also one last announcement. So you know how we've been doing the quick hits for you throughout the month of July. You have a quick hits only podcast now. You need to go to nobswomen.com and visit the podcast page if you want the Quick Hits podcast on your phone. Some of you have downloaded it. Some of you are listening to the Quick Hits and the Live Training Replays podcast. We did that for the month of July to give you a taste of what Quick Hits are like. Starting in August, Quick Hits will only be in the Quick Hits podcast. They will no longer go in the live training feed. So what does that mean? There are 4 podcasts for an OBS woman. Live trainings, which are my Q&As and all the coaching calls. Anytime I'm coming on live and teaching, live training replays. The second is just the NoBS weight loss course. It has its own podcast that was, we did it in 2020. So it's all right there for you. The third one is for all the self-study courses. For example, the drop it like it's hot challenge videos. Go in there. Next month, we're doing the deep dive into the 24-hour plan. That course will drop into the self-studies resources. So it's only our courses. And number four is just the Quick Hits podcast. There was never a Queen's Club podcast. We never had it. I don't think we ever actually had a podcast just for Queen's Club because we only had one call a month. That Queen's Club call always goes into live training replays. So you have four, which is plenty. If y'all think you need more, oh my God, do more journaling because that's four podcasts with, I bet we have got 20,000 hours of content now inside of No BS. So no one should feel as if they don't get enough. Go re-listen to things. One of the things I've been doing in some of my memberships is I've been going back 2 years and re-listening to things, thinking like, oh, I've heard that before. No, my ass don't remember shit. I hear it brand new the next time. All right. I want to celebrate. We had 28 people hit the Queen's Club this week. Amanda Goers is a brand new Queen's Clubber. She said, being a No BS woman gives me my power back. I have everything I need to be the best me. It just takes time learning to listen to myself, trust myself, and let my body lead me to where I need to be. And y'all, like, seriously, this is the big one. I wish I had a great sound for it, but we had six people just last week hit the Century Club. 600 pounds. When the team said it, I was like, we broke a record. We've never had this many people in 1 week hit the Century Club. So we had 28 people lose at least 25 pounds or more just last week. And just last week, we had six lose 100 pounds or more in 1 week. So for anybody out there who's just like, here I am, I'm your beautiful snowflake who can't lose weight, blah, 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 bull fucking shit. Here's what I know. If I interviewed Mary Jordan, Amy Woolwine, Sarah Unger, Courtney Kelly, Joellen Hodgkins, and Colleen Salvador, if I had to guess on day one of their 100-pound loss journey, not one of them was like, this is my moment. I'm 100% in belief. I will never eat when I'm not hungry again. I will hear all my enough signals and my drama will be erased for life. And I am pretty sure that every time I make a plan, I will follow it to the T. Said no one ever on day one. You know what I bet Mary, Amy, Sarah, Courtney, Joellen, and Colleen said? I don't know if I can do this. This sounds like some kind of witchery. I mean, I'm going to give it a try. I like Corinne and all. This might work, but I like food a lot. Shit tastes really good. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. You know I got them kids, Corinne. Everybody has excuses. Everybody has reasons that they think it can't happen for them. Every single success person goes through bullshit excuses. Your job is to quit listening to your excuses and start proving them wrong. Instead of just being like, I have excuses. Let me prove them right by not showing up each day. Make it easy on yourself to show up, y'all. All right. Let's talk about building belief in yourself and your weight loss since we've had like a record amount of people hit Queen's Club. And it's not a record for Queen's Club, but it is our record for the century. All right. Number one, to build belief in yourself, you must take credit for your success instead of giving credit away to circumstances. This is what this sounds like. I got lucky. I only do good during challenges. If it wasn't for my accountability group, those are giving away your successes. That's very disempowering. It says other things have power over you. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we understand that when you are going along your weight loss journey, you need to sit with the discomfort of being proud of yourself. You need to give yourself credit for how you're showing up. No one gets lucky in weight loss, ever. It's because you made choices. If you lose any weight, it wasn't by the grace of God. It wasn't by luck. It wasn't anything other than this week, I made a series of choices and this would have equaled. That's all. We can use our habit tracker to look for ways to find success. But one of the things that I want you to really think about is, how can you feel successful right now, no matter what's going on? Because a lot of you, you're like, I need to feel successful, or I need to feel like it's going to work. Like, I need that assurance. I need certainty. So the way I like to hack it is, if you are desperate for certainty and you are desperate for assuredness, you need to look at what's going on right now in your life so that you can say something like, okay, I am certain that for today, that when I don't want to leave two bites behind, I can challenge myself to do it anyway. If you're looking for assurances that this will work, then what you need to do is you need to look at today. You need to reassure yourself that the only way it will work is if I stay present today. That I can count on. That is a truth I can get behind. That if you string together enough days where you pay attention to where you do small things, you keep trying to inch yourself forward, you start doing things that are good for you instead of avoiding the things that you feel aren't good enough, that makes sense. That assures me that if I stay in that mindset, even when my brain wants to tell me all the other things, I probably can lose weight. So we have to think about, like, when we want to build belief in ourselves, we have to be thinking about ways that we can start thinking and ways we hope to feel one day. We have to start recognizing, like, if something works, you need to own it. You do not give it away. The second way to build belief in yourself when it comes to your weight loss is, I want you to think about what you want to take action on versus what isn't good enough about last month. So we're all rolling into the next month. This Saturday, you have your monthly planning and assessment call with the coaches. If you've never been to one, I highly recommend that you go. You bring your planner and you bring your honesty and you bring your determination to figure things out for the next month. So when you're filling out your monthly assessment, when you go to that call, we always want to start with, where did I win this last month? For some of you, you're going to notice, like, I tried the doable hunger challenges things, and about like 50 to 60% of the time, I was doing them and they were working. That got me a little progress. I was very receptive to things. I listened to more calls this month than I did last month. Look for your wins. Even if you didn't lose weight, did you stay engaged with your accountability group? Did you uncover some ahas in your thinking this last month that will help you with next month? So you want to make sure that you see some wins first. And then you start thinking about, all right, based upon that, what are the things I could change next month that feel doable, that don't overwhelm me, that I could focus on? And all month long, my goal is to get better and better with the execution. It's not to start off on day one perfect. It's to understand how to get better and better at it all month long. For a lot of you, I want you to pick doing the 24-hour planning deep dive. We are going to get down and dirty with it. If you go to nobswomen.com right now, go to self-study resources, you're going to find all the videos, the guide, everything that we've compiled for the 24-hour planning month is waiting for you right now. I would suggest every No BS woman do it. Even if you're great at planning, we will help you level up the planning. We have everything next month is geared around planning, planning, and planning. All right. So the third thing when it comes to building belief and trust with yourself is focus on keeping momentum going. You need to know where your next level work is. So one of the things about that we do is we'll like end a challenge and we're like, well, you know, I just do well in challenges. I don't know about these deep dives. Talk about a momentum buster. You have sat there and said somehow a challenge is what got your ass to do things. No, it didn't. You made a decision that when I said do something, you're like, I'll try that. You decided that you like challenges. You know what you can decide for next month? I like studying deep dives. I'm going to challenge myself to get through all the content. I'm going to challenge myself to do the things they say. It's as simple as that. It's about your thinking. So I want everyone to do the 24-hour planning deep dive. Here's the exception to the rule. Maintenance people, if you're in maintenance, you don't want to do the 24-hour deep dive. You're already a baller in it. Month two or module two of maintenance is now available for you. It's one of my favorites. I talk a lot about imposter syndrome in there. I think that's really important. That kind of goes back to our number one when it comes to building belief, which is taking credit. Very often when someone gets to maintenance, it doesn't feel as great as they thought it would. While they love the number on the scale, they're sitting around all the time waiting for the other shoe to drop. They're wondering if they're going to regain their weight. They start thinking like, well, if life doesn't get like, I had it easy through this, what if something bad happens? And then the whole time they're in maintenance, they feel on guard. They feel scared. They feel apprehensive, nervous. Watch maintenance calls, y'all. If you don't believe that you need to sit now in your weight loss and figure out how to enjoy the process, how to believe in yourself all the way down, if you don't quit waiting for the number to make you happy, just go watch some of the maintenance calls. They cry. They're terrified. They don't know what to do. They're having an out-of-body experience. And it hits them so hard because let me just tell you, as someone who's hit it, you lose the weight and you prove something wrong to yourself. Like I said earlier, every person that loses all their weight, at some point there was a version of them that didn't believe they could do it. They thought it would never happen. And then when they lose their weight and it's like, I was wrong about all of it, their brain freaks out and their brain is like, oh my God, we're supposed to be happy here, but all we're doing is sitting around wondering if we're going to regain our weight. So if I'm not happy and that number didn't do it, let me go back to my Rolodex. Let me see. Oh, I just found Mr. You Will Gain Your Weight Back voice. And it's just like, let me dial up that guy. And in your mind, he's over there like, yeah, you're going to regain your weight. Rah, 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 rah. It's just going to go back to your old thoughts. It's just going to go back to your past because you're not creating anything new for you. So you want to make sure that you listen to that module because it's really going to help you start getting that mindset shift that you need. For everybody else, we're going to do the 24-hour plan and deep dive. It's going to be a game changer. I wrote this program myself. I love this program, and I know it's going to help all of you. It was also a last-minute add. We had not planned on doing this, but back in May or June, I can't remember what month it was, I was talking to Yasmin, and I was like listening to everybody bitch about my planner, and I was like, we are going to study this planner. I am going to change their fucking mind about this planner. Inside that course, you are going to find that we have a bottom line planning page. So for all of you who are just like, oh, that planner's got so much stuff in it, I can't do it. It takes me 30 minutes. Guess what? Your excuse is gone. Now we're going to find out either what your next excuse is, or you're going to realize it is truly your busted ass fucking thinking, because I created a one pager. The only thought work that goes down on that thing is this. What might get in your fucking way today? And what are you going to do about it? If all you want is to take is like plan food, clean and quick, easy to do, you got it now. Now what? So now what y'all need to do, for all of you who keep saying you can't plan, is you need to be like, oh shit, she's thrown down the gauntlet. She's giving me a piece of paper, a one pager, that don't make me like find out why I like myself and have gratitude and all that stuff, my worthiness, all that's gone. We ain't doing none of that this month. Now, if you love the planner and the full effect, you keep doing that. Because the big boy is there to change your mind, your heart, and your soul so that you aren't just losing weight, so that you are becoming a different person at the end of your weight loss journey. The one pager is great for time-starved people, for those who are afraid of thought work, terrified of doing a thought work. It's also really good as a primer to start thinking about what might get in your way for the day and to overcome it. So that you take a baby step into taking responsibility for things. So it'll be really good for all of you. Then you can either keep using it if you love it, or you can be like, let me try the big boy planner for a week after I've used this for 30 days and developed a habit of using a planner page. Then I can put my toe into the big one if I want to. And that's how it will work together. All right, let's go to some questions. Typically eat dinner at 8, 9, or 10 o'clock at night, and then I go to bed at midnight. I have a later schedule, eating breakfast if I'm hungry in the morning. I just had breakfast at 11 and lunch at 2 or 3. Based off what Corinne was saying, am I doing myself a disservice by eating so late at night? My husband works late, and 8 p.m. is realistically the earliest we would eat. This is what you got to decide. It's 50-50 for you. You can eat earlier. So I typically eat my first meal. Like I will eat my first, today I won't eat my first meal until probably 1. Corinne didn't have time to eat this morning. And I've got y'all. Then I got another 90-minute call after y'all. And then I got another hour of calls right after that. Then I get to eat. So whenever that time is when my first meal will be. Most days I eat somewhere between 10 and 11. I eat somewhere around 2. And then we eat again at 5. And that's kind of about how I work my days now. Usually 6 o'clock is when we eat, but I want to get it back to 5. But that's because I have the availability to do it. Now, if for some reason I really wanted to eat with Chris and he didn't get off until 8 or 9 o'clock at night, I would probably just wait for him. I would trade and eat closer to bedtime. I would probably make that meal lighter just because I wouldn't want to be struggling with eating. But as long as you get a little bit of a break before you go to bed, like if you're eating at 8 and you go to bed at midnight, it's the same exact thing as someone who eats at 5 and goes to bed at 8. It's about 3 hours is what you need in order for your belly to have the food in it and to be able to clear it enough to where your body can start winding down again. It takes energy for you to digest food, pure and simple. And if you eat and then lay down immediately, like it's bad for your esophagus and stuff. I will just tell you, my mother has Barrett's esophagus. Nobody wants that. You do not want to struggle with all that. So it's up to you. And there's no right or wrong. I'm more talking to the people who are eating dinner at 6 o'clock and acting as if they don't have their snack at 9, that somehow they're going to die overnight. They're just going to be starving and stuff. They're not. And then if you're going to bed at midnight and you're waiting all the way to 11, you're fine. Like that's fine. Okay, here goes. I am working on binges. I am seeing success. And one of my observations about my binging is when I eat in secret, I create a different reality for myself. I pretend I am on vacation. I pretend I am eating with others. I pretend I am somewhere other than my kitchen sink eating over my damn kitchen sink. Could you lend insight to help me use this observation for improvement? Yeah. So your brain, basically what it's doing is it's imagining all this stuff to take you away from the thoughts you would probably be having if you were just sitting there thinking, I'm eating over my sink. No one is here. So what you can do is you could use those fantasies, those imaginations and stuff, and just as they come in, remind yourself, the only thing that's happening is I'm eating at my sink. There's no vacation. There's no one with me. This is me secret eating at my sink. Now, I would neutralize it. What I just gave you is the neutral version. What a lot of you try to do is you try to tell this story. Nobody's here. You're alone. You're not on vacation because you don't have a life. Like, what we don't want to do is take a fantasy thought and then exchange it for a self-loathing thought. What we want to do is we want to get you to where you're just like, this is not as fun as my imagination wants to make it out to be. Like, when I just neutralize it, that this is all that's happening, then you're going to take down all the feel-good feelings that come along for the ride with those fantasy thoughts. So when you just neutralize it, you're literally just getting the food and you're telling yourself the accurate story of what's happening. I am eating over the sink. There's no one with me. I am not on vacation. This is me, Oreos in the sink. Then you can like do that for a little while. And then just see if something shifts. A lot of times when you take all of that high energy and stuff that goes around the binge, like some people to distract, they eat so much food to distract them from their negative thinking, they don't really think anything. Some people put all of this thinking in so they can keep eating. Makes it more fun. So I would just try to strike a neutral balance. And then after a little while, you can just say, it seems to me that I would have more fun eating these foods when I am on vacation. I mean, I want you to think about it. If I was going out to eat and having these foods and stuff. So like where this fantasy talk, what could it be signaling to me? Do I want more adventure? Do I want more connection? Do I want those things in my life? And instead of fantasizing about it, what is the work involved to making some of this happen? Like if you're wanting more vacation time, you don't necessarily have to go on vacation, but can you give yourself more stay home vacations without guilt? Like what are these fantasies trying to signal to you? I find that if I feel like I'm really starting to figure things out and have a loss the very next week, I instantly ease up. It's like a knee-jerk reaction. I don't know where to start to break that pattern. I need to find a better way of falling in love with the process. I don't think it's that this is probably not a falling in love with the process thing. So you are very aware, Carrie, that you know that if you like have a loss, then instead of just being like, well, here's what I do, I ease up. Now what you need to do is you need to tell yourself, here's what happens historically when I have a loss. I ease up in these ways. So this week, I want to be someone who doesn't do that anymore. Right now, you're just like, this is who I am. But your brain isn't going, like you're assuming it's because you don't love your process. I wouldn't assume that at all unless you ask yourself, am I sitting around talking to myself like an asshole about the process? Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But one of the things that I would do is just say like, I'm really proud of myself. I've lost some weight and I've noticed a pattern that I eat or ease up on things. So what now the next step for me is what do I tell myself that I'm now allowed to do and why? And then when you hear that, then you can say like, so what would the truth be? Is the truth that I want to ease up, that I need to ease up, whatever those things are, you need to ask yourself, like, what is the truth? The truth is I'd like to keep going. And so when I weigh in and I have a loss, I need to make sure I remind myself a lot that day, all the reasons why I would want to keep going. All the reasons why this is great for me, all the reasons why I'm proud of myself. How's keeping going going to look this weekend to where it's fun and it's enjoyable and it feels like it's building momentum? Like solve, like write and solve the problem you want to solve. Um, Kara, will you bring back movement and yearly, weekly, monthly goal back to the planner? I miss those circles and it makes me see the big picture. Just draw them in. Like, seriously, if there are things about the planner that you love, this is the easiest fix. Every day, draw four circles, write it in. If you love movement, here's, you know what I do on the planner where it says snacks? I don't eat snacks. You know what I do? I write in my movement there. Every day, my number one goal is always whatever workout that I'm going to do. Y'all can make this planner be anything you want. Recovering from shoulder surgery last Friday, I created a protocol ahead of time. I wasn't prepared for lack of appetite. It's maybe the meds, probably. Wherever I'm on heavy meds from a surgery, I barely can eat for a few days. It turns my stomach. I've been so tuned into my hunger signals before surgery. Post-surgery, I haven't had use of my dominant hand, and I'm not using my planner. That's fine. You're like, it's not like you're not using your planner for an asshole reason. You can't write. That's okay. You need to tell yourself, like, every day I'm going to mentally run through my plan in my head so that I keep the habit of wanting to plan and thinking that planning is important to me, so that when I'm able to write again, I'll be able to do that. Eating, not knowing my hunger, craving sweets. I know this is temporary, but want to get back on plan. How do I get back to it? I wanted to lose 10 pounds this summer and learn so much. I want to keep going. Then you decide, what is the best way to keep going? Right now, you're deciding what are the things that are stopping me? Like, here's the good thing. You have a lot of good awareness. It's like, you notice you're craving sweets. Guess what? You're probably feeling sorry for yourself, sitting around thinking about all the things you can't do. Yeah, you're going to want some dopamine. You can't get it from planning. So your brain's like, all right, let me go back to what I used to do. Let's do sweets. That worked in the past. You've got to give yourself those dopamine hits. You have to be, and let me just tell you, like, I've had some serious surgeries in the past. When I had, literally, when I was cut from my knees all the way to between my boobs, like, slice me down the middle, then go this way. And while we're at it for fun, let's cut circumferentially too. That was one of my surgeries. I couldn't lay. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do dick. So for the 8 weeks that I had to sit and practically be in, I could get up a couple times a day and scooch around. I had to sit there and figure out new ways to be healthy instead of sitting there thinking about all the reasons why I can't. Guess what I did? For about the only time in my life, I meditated. Each day when I got up and could walk around my island with all my drains and my bags and, oh, good Lord, all the other things that came along for the ride, I called that my workout. I made decisions about how I was going to think about everything. I made decisions on how I was going to show up for myself. And my brain would go to, you're just gaming the system. And I would tell myself, hell yeah, I'm gaming the system. You know why? Because when this shit's over, I want those habits in place. This is all day, every day, me gaming the system for me. Somebody asked, was that loose skin surgery? Oh yeah. One of many loose skin surgeries that I've had. Woo! It was rough times. What are the best meditation sources? I have no clue. My husband uses, I forget what he uses. I've used the Calm app before. My husband uses Headspace. There are all kinds out there. You just mentioned being afraid of the thought work. That's me. I drag my feet on the thought work. The journal prompts are helpful, but I cannot embrace it. What's up with this? I want to love thought work, but procrastinate. You have to figure out why you're afraid. So one good thing is you know that you have fear. So you have fear of thought work. What's thought work going to do to you? That's the best question you can ask. What do I think doing thought work is going to do to me? Most of y'all are going to be like, it's going to bring up things I haven't thought about in a long time. I'm going to tell y'all right now, here's the truth. That shit you ain't thought about in a long time, oh, it's in there. It's in there trying to get out, and you keep shoving a Twinkie in its mouth every time it does, and you're like, I'm just sitting like, I'm afraid of thought work, but I'm going to also be afraid I can't lose all my weight. I'm going to be afraid. I'm never going to do this. I'm going to be afraid of this. It's like, you're not losing fear. Sitting around being afraid you ain't going to lose weight, it's not going to help you lose weight, and it ain't going to change what you're afraid of underneath. So if I'm going to have to, if I'm going to experience fear every day of my life, I am at least going to experience the fear that might get me someplace. So the best question to ask you yourself is like, what is it do I think thought work is going to do to me? The scary things. Don't give us bullshit you think we want to hear. And then you take that to ask coaches so we can help you with that. But a lot of y'all think like, it's going to bring up feelings that I haven't felt in a long time. Here's one of the things I'd ask yourself. List those feelings you're afraid of. Now, spend a week and say, I'm just going to pay attention to see if those feelings are happening anyway. They're probably happening in other areas. So let's say that you have, here's a big one. Some people have a lot of regrets. They're like, oh, I got regrets on mothering, regrets on how I was when I was 12, regrets that I didn't go to school. Like, you got regrets that you don't want to drum up, because if you drum them up, you're going to feel the shames. Let me ask you this. In the last 3 weeks, have you experienced shame? Not over that, but maybe, well, I did it again. I started on Monday and quit by Wednesday. Shame. You go walk in front of a mirror and you look at yourself. And you think, you're never going to get your shit together. You're always going to look like this. Shame. Most of y'all, this shit that you're so worried about drumming up in thought work, you doing it every damn day. Twice on Sunday. It's just like, I'm not going to work on this stuff I'm afraid of, but I'm just going to sit here and let it prevent me from doing anything else for myself and feel those feelings anyway. I just keep telling people, like, thought work is not near as dramatic as you make it out to be. It's like, you're going to write some stuff. And instead of sitting there thinking, I'm going to see things I don't want to see about myself, I like to always think, like, I'm going to get insight into the very things that I don't want to believe about me anymore, that I'd like to work through and set myself free of. That's the benefit of thought work. Because that's equally as true. I bet you the majority of you are sitting there right now thinking, if I could wave my magic wand, for all of you who are terrified of thought work, if I could wave my magic wand, what is the one thing you'd love to quit thinking and believing about yourself? You'd have something for me. Number one, that's thought work. Just knowing what you would love to change. And step two is us figuring out how to run it through the four ends often enough, asking questions about it often enough, until you get to the point to where you didn't ever need a magic wand. You just need to think clearly about it often enough to change the story. Let's see. I just got back from vacation and I'm proud of myself for maintaining while traveling. Can you remind us of some post-vacation tips? Get right back into your habits. That's it. Like, when I come back from vacation, I just jump right back in. Where did I leave off? What was I doing before vacation? It doesn't matter how you showed up on vacation. It matters where you decide you're going to start when you get back. So even if you did great, you just come back and be like, all right, plug and play. First things up, it's water. Second things up, going to bed tonight. Third thing, what's my plan for the day? Fourth thing, I ain't going to eat today until I get hungry. And then I'm going to pay attention while I'm eating to make sure that I'm not overeating. Eating just because it tastes good. Eating just because it's there. Eating just because I don't want to waste it. Eating just because everybody else is. Eating because not cleaning my plate. Those excuses are no longer good enough for me. So I'm going to pay attention today to make sure that I either don't do those things or I'm very aware of when I am so I can go to work on changing it. I was such a badass and lost 45 pounds bootlegging your program. I listened to your podcast every day and religiously followed everything you taught. So I know I'm capable. I've stopped losing and now I've been losing and gaining the same 5 to 10 pounds. I'm so incredibly frustrated. I joined your program the last time you opened to get some help. I'm trying to do the mind work and I've changed a great deal of my shitty thoughts, but for some reason I keep fucking up. First of all, we have to quit calling it fucking up. You have to say, I'm now, and this is what typically happens. It just kind of coincided. When you lost the 45 pounds, you lost the 45 pounds being able to not do the thought work. This happens for a lot of people. They get to a certain point where it's like, oh, I can do these things Corinne says, and I'm going to, like, you start feeling better because you're making progress. Then all of a sudden you hit the wall. And in order to, like, not overeat, so for a lot of us, like for me, the first 50 pounds, I could overeat and still lose 50 pounds. I just wasn't in sumo wrestler gain some weight mode. So anything that I did different was going to be helpful. But then I hit a plateau where it was like, all right, now I kind of actually work on some of this overeating. Like these things that you're calling the fuck ups, like when I fuck up, stop calling them fuck ups and start getting accurate about them. I overeat when I feel these things. I ignore my enough signals when I'm at Outback. Like whatever your patterns are, get very specific and quit labeling them in a self-loathing way. You're right now, what you're calling your fuck ups is the path to lose the next 10 pounds. It's about figuring out those things about like, oh, I got to get better at on Fridays and Saturdays, being able to go out to eat and not have drinks and all the food. Now I'm at a point where I've got to decide what's more important for the experience, the drinks or the food. So like when you're like my size, let me just tell you, we don't go out and have free-for-alls anymore. If I want to do all the things, guess what Corinne's got to do? Go back into weight loss mode. To maintain, I have to prioritize. That's for all of us. I don't sit there and tell myself, it's unfortunate you don't get to eat all the things. I tell myself, how lucky am I to be able to choose? Do I want desserts? Do I want wine? Or do I want appetizers? I get one. Which one do I want? A lot of y'all sit around and will say like, oh, it's so hard. I can't eat all the things. And y'all whine. I'm like, look, now this is a first world problem. We're going to sit here and act like we're deprived and restricted because we're trying to lose weight so that we can, like, you know, wear the clothes we want, do all the things. And we're really going to sit around and bitch and moan because we can't have nachos and wine. I just always tell myself, get a grip, Corinne. You ain't suffering. We're trying to decide if you're going to drink or not. And that's where some of y'all have to like start. Like, that's your next level work is like looking at these things and saying like, shit, here I am trying to tell myself again how hard things are going to be, trying to tell myself how depriving it's going to be, how unfortunate it is for me. It's like, no, I've got the privilege and the opportunity to lose 10 pounds staring me in the face. Hard? You know what's hard? Working in the hot sun for 10 hours a day in the middle of summer, building a house. Every time we're building a house right now. Every time I go over, I'm just like, fuck me. That's terrible. Every time I think about stuff like that, I really realize that going to Outback and not having blooming onion as much as I'd like, probably not a major sacrifice in the world until my brain acts like it's so unfair. You don't get to eat things because now you've lost 45 pounds. You don't get to eat as much as you'd like. It's like, you get to enjoy a new body. Stuff, y'all. All right, I hope that helps. Last question. I do well stopping at enough with meals, but when I eat a good food like desserts, I tend to eat it all. I don't plan these often. So when I do plan them, my habit brain is off to the races. Would planning these types of foods more often help my habit brain settle down? It can, but I want you to realize you're trying to do something to think and feel differently. You can plan it more often, or what you can tell yourself right now is like, every time I do plan desserts, I'm going to eat very slowly and I'm going to listen to the thoughts that I have around desserts that make it so anxiety driven that I want to finish it. What am I telling myself about desserts? You may be telling yourself, I don't get to plan these often, which is not true. You could be telling yourself, Lisa, I don't plan these desserts very often because I have a fear I'll keep eating them. The truth is, I can plan desserts and overcome the fear. It may take discomfort in leaving some of it behind because my brain will want to think you're not going to get this. And you can just tell yourself, look, we could have desserts more often. I'm just choosing not to. But come up with better reasons. List all the reasons why you're not choosing to have desserts all the time. A lot of times we'll convince ourselves the reason why I'm not planning them often is because I always overeat them. There's probably other reasons. Do you know why Corinne doesn't plan desserts very often? I like to do other things. I'll tell you one of my biggest thoughts. I never want to be the person that's life revolves around food ever again. I did that for over 30 years of my life, where food was the highlight, the focal, and the centerpiece of everything. It relaxed me. It allowed me to numb out. It allowed me to ignore myself. It prevented me for years and years and years from having authentic relationships. It kept me from having, to be able to do the athletic things that I can do today. I just tell myself the truth when I don't plan desserts all the time. That might be one reason, and you can work on that, but give yourself the real reason why you choose not to now. And get focused on that so that you can see you are way more than just whether or not you're going to get cookies. All right, y'all, that's it. Y'all have a good one. I will be in Vegas this weekend. I will see you on Sunday, though. We will have our regular session. I'll be live from my hotel room as usual, ready to rock and roll with y'all. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.